If we have a financial crisis, one of the things you're going to want to be able to do is to barter and to buy goods and services, obviously. And if you're out of dollars or the ATM's down or you're locked down or you need a way to pay for something and maybe the current financial system just doesn't exist, check out these prepper bars. They break into little pieces, different grams of silver or gold, and you can carry them in your wallet, break a piece off to pay for whatever you need at the time. It's a fantastic idea. They're sold at cdmbar.com. Check it out and get some prepper bars and be ready. Thanks.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
Welcome to Election Watch 2024. This is a special edition. We are breaking in for the Trump assassination attempt. It's all over the news, and I can guarantee you we have the most experienced and insightful panel that you're going to find anywhere tonight. I'm joined by I'm joined by our colleague Christine Dolan, who is started Inside Politics at CNN. She's seen this before. Bill Quinn, who runs the Georgia Record, and John Ritchie, who is former CIA out of Beijing. Welcome, everyone. Bill, do you want to give us a quick overview of what we think we know?
Sure. We are gathering information as we go live this evening. Trump was speaking in Pennsylvania this afternoon in front of a crowd of something 20, 30,000. And within 8 or 10 minutes of the beginning of the speech, you could hear on the video shots ring out, but appeared to be shots at the time. Trump grabbed his appeared to grab his right ear and almost instantly knelt down and went for the ground. Secret Service agents came from all sectors, covered him up, and within just a few seconds, we were able to see him lifted up. He was walking. He was talking with the Secret Service agents. They surrounded him. They covered him as best they could. But before allowing them to leave to take him off the stage, he reached over their shoulders and gave a several hand pumps. Couldn't quite hear what he said, but I think we heard him say, "Wait, wait, wait," and then several hand pumps over the shoulders of the Secret Service and, you know, giving the both the okay sign and, you know, appearing to say, let's fight. This is real.
Christine, you've been through this many times before. What's your impression of how this is going to impact the race? And what do you think just about the shooting itself before we move on to the other thing?
Well, I had not shared this with any of you guys, but in the month of June, somebody came to me with some information. And I told this person that there was only one person on earth that I would trust with this information, and that was Mike Flynn. And I arranged for that person to give some information to Mike Flynn, because that person had learned through a source that there was going to be an attempt to take Biden out in June and take Trump out in July. So I've reached out to Mike a couple days ago to find out, you know, because I knew that they had met. Because I talked to the source that I had, so quite frankly, I'm not shocked tonight. I'm pissed as an American. I'm mad as hell, and this is the way this is going down. And when this happened in 1981, it was March. I think it was March 30th, 1981. Ronald Reagan had only been in office since January, and at that point in time, the polls, the first polls that were taken after that, they jumped for 67% of Americans were with Ronald Reagan. And it wasn't until maybe a couple years later when unemployment raised its ugly numbers. And, you know, all of a sudden, I think he went into the 1984 convention with about 58% of the public support at that point in time. But I think this is a wake-up call. Nobody should be on the bench. Everybody needs to get out and vote. I was startled watching this incident, and I had on a channel, and it was Biden talking. And, you know, he's talking to some people, but he's not talking about the fact that this is a moment in time. It's like when Martin Luther King was assassinated, Bobby Kennedy Sr. Got out there and basically told everybody, you know, this is a moment, like, no, don't everybody go crazy. And he really tried to gauge what was going on in America. And that was after his brother was assassinated in the early 1960s. And obviously before months later when he was assassinated. So we need leadership. And I actually think, I mean, I have to laugh too at Trump holding up his fist, but God bless him. That's to let everybody know that he's going to make it. We're going to make this. We're going to make this happen because we need to turn the country around.
So I want to talk to you about RFK's situation because this really impacts that whole thing. But we'll
yes, that yes. And I have been very, 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 very public about this. Mm-hmm. I'm mad as hell at Biden for putting, mm-hmm. you know, the Secret Service response to Bobby's 6 requests for Secret Service is a lie. And everybody needs to understand this. The Secret Service has come back and said to them, oh, sorry, we don't supply Secret Service, but for 120 days, before the election. That's a lie. In 1980, when his uncle Teddy ran, Jimmy Carter knew it was going to be that there was no love lost between the two of them. And you know, Teddy was a ferocious campaigner, and he was immediately given Secret Service a year before. In 1984, 1988, when Jesse Jackson ran, Ronald Reagan gave Jesse Jackson Secret Service. And, you know, they didn't even have to ask. When Obama ran in, when the hell did he run? 2008. Baby Bush, George W. Bush, gave Obama Secret Service. Anytime a presidential candidate has asked for Secret Service, they have received Secret Service. Bobby Kennedy has asked 6 times now. And they have said no, and they've lied about what the rules of the games are. They have lied and said that there hasn't been any historical precedence outside of the 120 days. That's a lie. The reason why that Biden wants to say no to this is because Bobby is spending about $1 million a month for his own security. Right. And he has to have that because we've had people come up with guns and flash a U.S. Marshal badge to get into the stage and say to some of the security guys on Kennedy's staff, you know, take me to the candidate.
Let me break in with John now. So that's a good segue to you, John.
Yeah.
You've been in the field for a long time all over the world. You left not so long ago, but tell us what your thoughts are on how this was allowed to happen and how this impacts the national security establishment.
Well, I mean, thanks for having me on, Todd. And one of the things I'd say about this that's real important to understand is that, I mean, having worked security details in the private sector, I've secured people from the CEO of JP Morgan Chase on down. I've been in Secret Service details where this kind of security is taking place around presidents and principles of that nature. And I mean, you've got to remember that when they come into a space like that and they have a place where a principal is going to be appearing, they clear that space out and they put a bubble around it. And that's a gun-free zone. That is a weapons-free zone. And then you have to, they search it, they clear it, and then you have to clear to get into it. So right from the start, they control that surface, they control that space, and they ensure that anybody coming in to be a part of it is cleared to be in there. They're not allowing people just to casually, there is no pedestrian traffic there. So, and then the second thing is the idea that you had somebody, and I saw photos of it already, it's being reported he climbed up onto a building there nearby and took a sniper's position. Okay, a high ground position like that near a protectee, a federal protectee like the President of the United States would never even be allowed. That's not even a thing. in any situation like that. That building would never have had a perch where somebody could have gotten onto it and taken a shot like that. So this was either a huge lapse, a huge issue, or there was something done to allow that person to get there. But anyway, just from a standard SOP, this would never even happen. You would never have something like that occur.
So we have another one of our contributors, Kat Stansel, who had an eyewitness at the rally tonight, who said that the Secret Service was told there was somebody on the roof and they were told to ignore it. So I don't know if that's true, but we're going to follow up on that. Bill, what do you want to run?
Let me just jump in here talk about people on the roofs. I was watching what is the name of that network?
RBSN.
Thank you. RBSN. Yeah. I had that channel on too. And they even showed some footage on some of the, and I don't know what you call these things, the platforms at the back, and some of them had roofs over the razors. There were some snipers, the good guys on our side, that were on top of those as well.
Right. And that would normally be the case. If you had high ground like that, that high ground would be taken up by a Secret Service person. It wouldn't just be left there for anybody to crawl up there. So again, like I said, If that reporting is true in the photos and the video that they have of this person laying up there appears to have been neutralized, laying up on top of that building is true. You have some serious questions here.
Do we know the shooter's name, guys? I mean,
Let me turn it over to Bill. I think he's been the most up to date on what's going on.
There are reports coming in. We haven't been able to independently confirm them, but the name that's being offered by quite a number at the moment is Mike or Michael Violet. And apparently there's already a video ostensibly from some online site where he had a recording and made some statements that may be concerning. And so we actually do have the video showing this roof and an apparent person laying on top of the roof. If we want to see that, we also have video of the event itself.
Go ahead and run a few videos. We'll get that out of the way.
Okay. So let's just start with the actual moment of the shooting, if you will. And you'll notice as we show this that Trump's hand goes to his apparent right ear, and that will become apparent in just a few minutes.
I said, take a look at what happened.
And then, as would be normal, I believe the Secret Service arranged their plan for the coming few moments and then helped Trump off the stage. You can see some blood near his right ear as they help him off. And then lastly, here is the video that I think you were alluding to, John, the film of a zoom in on a building nearby, but with apparently a body or a person on top.
We can see the guy down. Mm-hmm. I think they hit him because the guy looks dead.
So that must have been from a sniper shot from our guys, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Right, John?
And you could hear fire that explosion.
Yeah, you'll hear the initial shots, and then all of a sudden you hear a volley of shots, and that's probably the shots that were engaging the person, the shooter, afterwards.
Where do we go from here? That's what I want to talk. How is this going to impact the race, Christine? What do you think?
Oh, well, it's just days before the Republican National Committee. I think that there's going to be an outpour of love, and that Trump has survived it. I think it's going to affect who he chooses as the vice presidential choice. I hope it gets people's, butts off the bench, because nobody should be sitting on the bench for this election. I mean, this is so important. And I hope it, people understand that they really are coming after Trump, and they really are coming after the kids, and they're coming after parental rights. I mean, there's the Western civilization is dead if Biden gets reelected.
And they're coming after media and anybody who can control the narrative. Mm-hmm. John, I want to ask you, you've been in this business a long time, and we've had talks. In fact, we did an interview today on the border that we're going to run probably next week. But what do you, I guess, let me take a step back. Can you give an overview of what you think the situation is of the CIA and the intelligence agencies in the U.S. right now?
You know what? I mean, they've, the idea, you have to remember that, first of all, they become apparatuses of this party and this administration. That's as simple as that. They are serving that administration. It doesn't mean there aren't some, I hear that all the time about the FBI as well, same thing. But at the end of the day, that organization is there as a service to this White House, to this administration and the people of this administration, the people supporting this administration. So what the leadership that you have in there, they are there. They know what their mission is. They know what they're here to do. And that is to support this administration and to ensure that Trump doesn't return. Now, we've had discussions about my old organization and why, and I've always said, and probably one of the reasons I left, I don't understand the need for this type of organization anymore. I don't see it. It's not doing what we needed it to do. And it has no mission where it's supposed to be. And it's in every place it's not supposed to be right now. And that's the same with the FBI. Same thing there. They're not doing the mission of securing this country, of law enforcement, of counterterrorism. They're worried more about Americans and dissent to this administration. So that's what we're seeing. I mean, it's right in front of our eyes. Nobody has to pretend otherwise. We don't have to talk around it. They serve this president. And so when we think about that and how that has to go forward, and you and I've talked about this before, somehow getting, if we can get Trump back into office, these organizations have to be done away with. This has to go to states' controls. We need to get the people involved in it. I've said this before. The security of this country needs to be the responsibility of the people of this country, not some overgrown apparatus that's been weaponized against us. The people need to step up and take control of some of this stuff. My parents used to always say, yeah, well, we elected these people. I remember working at the agency and I always thought that, well, we were elected to have a certain responsibility to do certain things. I don't believe that anymore. I think the people of this country need to be doing this. They need to step up. The young people need to step up. Our intelligence services need to be controlled locally. It needs to be a consortium of states. It doesn't need to be that. That thing we have in Langley right now is nothing. It's useless. It's just a big machine and it doesn't even need to be there. We would still be just as safe if the people pick that up. So that's how I think it has to go forward.
Also, people have to remember back in October of 2020, Anthony Blinken, who's now Secretary of State, was with the Biden campaign. And when the laptop story was dropped by Miranda Devine at New York Post on October 14th, it was October 19th that 51 intelligence guys wrote that letter to say that this looked like Russian disinformation. Two of them, the man who received the phone call from Blinken, Mike Morrell, who used to be the deputy at the CIA, and I ran into him for a number of years for a number of investigations. He was the one that orchestrated that letter. David Buckley, his name is on that. He and Michael were under, they both had a CIA contract at the time. David Buckley then was appointed as the staff director of the January 6th committee. He then in turn hired the former ABC president, who's a former British documentary film producer, who then put together what we call the doc drama of the Unselect Committee on January 6th. So if people think that this is not contrived by this administration, it's not just contrived by the Biden White House. It was also done by members of Congress, with Benny Thompson and Liz Cheney.
Yeah. And then now we look, I know the people that were on, several of the people that were on that 51. I know the person that actually was the runner for went around getting the signatures of everybody. I know him. He and I went through the farm together. I know him well, and he's not exceptional at all, as are many of the people that you saw on that letter. So you're exactly right. I mean, they've lost their mission. And I heard somebody that was working at the agency at the time during COVID, that nobody was going in there. Nobody was even going in there except for the watch group that ran the SOC, the operations center. And that's a handful of people. That's all tech. You're just monitoring things around the world. And you know what? Believe it or not, CIA didn't fall apart with 25 people in the building. So I'm just simply saying that is a bloated bureaucracy, just like FBI and DOE and you name it. They're just bloated bureaucracies and self-perpetuating. That's all it is.
So I have a something sent to me by someone I trust from the Federalist, that the former and future president's detail has been asking for beat up protection and resources for weeks, but rebuffed by Biden's DHS.
Wow.
And DHS wasn't responsive to requests. So
and here's one for you. It's kind of funny to me that CNN hasn't carried a rally one, not single one of these rallies since Biden took office. And tonight they were covering this rally. I had a friend of mine tell me this because he's in DC.
That's interesting to me. I didn't realize CNN, one of my alma maters, had not covered this until
then. Absolutely. He calls me from D.C. He lives in Annandale. He used to work with me at the agency, and we were talking about this. And at the very beginning, I said, what are you watching it on? He's good. I got in on CNN. Wow. I said, CNN's carrying it. He goes, yeah. I said, wow, something must be going on. I was just making a joke. And then here we are.
Let me move to Bill. We've got the RNC coming up, and there's a lot of weird stuff happening with the delegations in multiple states. Georgia is one of them. How do you see this impacting that? Because everybody's wondering what was going to happen. Now we really don't know what's going to happen.
Well, it's a fascinating question. We've seen strange moves here in Georgia. Most people have heard that here in Georgia, the GOP, their nominating committee, for reasons that only they know, ended up putting a Dominion Voting Systems ex-lobbyist on the delegation going to the RNC. This in spite of Trump's and others, many here in Georgia, saying there's something drastically wrong with our elections here. So why would that person be put on? The other thing that happened was there were a number of people taken off by vote of the state convention, grassroots people from all over the state who spent, $400, $500, $600 to be able to be there for the day, voted people off the delegation, and yet we have emerging information that many of those have been added back in. So between that and what we saw happen in the last few days in Missouri and the report earlier in the month regarding a plan emerging in Arizona with their delegates meeting to discuss how to create, I believe the word was chaos at the RNC, There's certainly reason for concern. What effect this will have? The early things that I've been hearing are, people that were probably, edging toward Trump have now decided or are in the midst of deciding, wow, if they want him gone, they must really want us gone, And let's think about that as we make our choice coming up. What effect that will have at the RNC? I don't know. It is notable that he had announced in the last few days that he expects to name his vice presidential pick.
This is a special report.
Knowing how to invest your money is harder than ever before. Dealing with stock market volatility, record debt, and terrorist attacks requires new thinking. At U.S. Asset Management, we can help you see the world more clearly so that you can move beyond the chaos and invest with confidence. Call us, visit us online, or drop by our office. U.S. Asset Management, helping you make better decisions with your money.
I believe on the 17th is the last document that I saw, and he would ostensibly be nominated and then do his acceptance speech on the 18th. Hard to see how all that's going to play out, but certainly this will be topic of conversation through the thousands of people sitting in that room in the next few days.
Christine, how do you see the convention going?
I don't know. I don't know. This has never happened right before a convention. It's usually everybody's trying to find out who's the VP choice for somebody coming in a situation like this. I mean, today when I was looking, I was doing some research, and I was laughing because the stage at the convention looks like the outside of the White House. That's never happened before, which I thought was kind of a, you know, I thought, well, you know, Trump really is a showman. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And so I was, you know, I guess, you know, we can talk about the ramblings. We can talk about the bubblings with Biden, his mental acuity dropping. But at the same time, this is not the America I grew up in. Mm-hmm. This is not the America that I want. This is not a country where we have this. The weaponization of politics is serious business. And people have to understand that it's not just Trump. It's representing anybody that is not a progressive. So, there's a large group of people in the middle who's not on the crazy fringes of this. But if you have the breakdown of the family, I think that's going to resonate with people. The immigration issue is, if we find out that the guy who's dead on the roof in Butler, Pennsylvania, turns out to be, you know, connected to some type of, I don't know what, immigration, you know, trafficking or anything like that. I guess it puts a new twist on this story. But I think that, you know, immigration is serious. Butler, by the way, used to be a sanctuary area, and then they voted that out about 2023. So, you know, there's more I want to know about where this Michael Violet comes from.
From what I've seen, he's an Antifa supporter or a member of Antifa is what I saw, the last I saw.
So what, he's blaming Trump because of Antifa?
Who knows?
We don't. Yeah,
well,
we
he's
don't
just
know.
an anarchist and a gun for hire, probably.
We do have a few more images to help people understand just how close this call was, if we want to show those.
Yeah, before. Go ahead, Bill.
So this is a picture of we saw Trump waving over the shoulders of the Secret Service people. This is as he carried away. You can see that it appears his ear or perhaps side of his face was scraped right there just at the top of the ear. You can imagine how close a call that would be. And I'm working on trying to get a map of the facility, but if that gentleman was in fact the person that shot and he was that far away, this was
a sniper
probably, and using a long gun, you know, quarter inch, half an inch further to the right. And this would have been a much different outcome.
Yeah. And by the way, I got a text from a listener saying that he said fight to make sure we said that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Okay, yes. Good. He did say fight. He also said before the Secret Service brought him up, he wanted to get his shoes.
Yeah.
I guess that they had, you know, he may have just lost the shoe or something.
Yeah.
I suspect we're going to see this photo many, many times in the coming days. It's sort of remarkable.
It's just iconic now.
I think. That's going to be a photo that wins an election, I think. That photo
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. And I think that people need to put a lot of pressure on the Biden administration to give the Trump campaign what they need and to give Bobby Kennedy what he needs for his campaign to keep him safe, because this is not a moment that we need to have repeated in the United States.
Well, I think people just need to no longer accept this crap. I mean, across the board, whether it's in your church, or your school, or, you know, your kids with trans. I mean, you can no longer accept this Marxist agenda.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think the thing that we have to bear in mind is that we hear this stuff about violence all the time, and it's always pointed at us. Violence at, when I say us, I mean conservatives, non-progressives, and people on the right. And you're always being told you're the violent ones. You're the ones that are causing everything. It's the same thing they've done with J6ers and all that. But we just look around and see what's happening around us, who's committing all the crimes in the cities, and what's happening. And how many, I used to laugh sometime. I'd listen when I was living in D.C. I used to listen to Chris Plant all the time. Well, now we get him out here. But one of the things he talks about is Democrats shooting people all the time. I mean, and I used to laugh. I thought, wow, that's kind of, but then I start looking at it. I realize you accuse the people that are not doing it of doing it, and you're the ones doing the violence. And I think, like you said, Todd, we have to get to a point where we say, we're not, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm not putting up with that. You know, when we become violent, we're going to have a reason for doing it. We haven't gotten there yet. We're sitting here still trying to figure out how we fight off Joe Biden's policies. And they're wanting to take out Trump.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not only that, John, they wanted to take us all out with the COVID shots.
Sure.
It's interesting as they, as folks were being told to leave the premises, I believe it was RSBN, it might've been OAN, was interviewing a group of people walking off, and they said something right in line with what you said. You know, the comments were along the lines of, you know, they always come after us. It's time that we hold these people accountable, and we deal with them as directly as they deal with us, you know. And I'm certainly not promoting or espousing that the gentleman was talking about violence, but I think they are, you know, he mentioned releasing people who had committed violent crimes from jails, you know, without bail and other things. And he said, this is not America. This is not justice. Huh. And we need to get back to real justice.
Equal application of justice. And that's what we don't have right now. And we're seeing it with the J6ers, where they let these criminals that are murdering, raping, and looting stores, they're letting them back out with no bail. But we've got citizens of our own party that are still sitting in prisons for 1,200, 1,400 days, and they have had no due process. And you just think about this, and you're exactly right. This isn't the America we were raised in. This isn't where we grew up in.
So I'm getting, Christine, give us some comment as to how this impacted Reagan's presidency. While we're getting a statement from the Secret Service, I'll have it shortly.
Okay, so I can't remember if it was CBS or ABC at the time who took a poll immediately after the attempted assassination of on Reagan at the Washington Hilton. By Hinckley. But it was 60, I think it was something like 67%. And then one of the other networks took one a couple weeks later and it was like 75%. So, I mean, there's a, you know, and I don't know if it makes a difference if you're sitting in the White House or if you're trying to get back into the White House when the situation happens on this. But I could predict that there will be some pollsters out there that will try to figure out where this, you know, how this plays out. And the other thing we have to watch for the media is how the legacy media refers to this. Is it a will it be different this time than it was when the attempt was made on Reagan back in 1981? So I think that there's sort of a hold, but we know that it's a neck and neck race, but not necessarily in some states. There have been polls recently, we reported on them in the last week, where if you go down to the battleground states from last time, plus a couple more like North Carolina, or Trump is making a play in New Jersey and New York, which would be, you know, pretty astounding if he won New York, because that hasn't been won by a Republican since 1984 when Reagan won it. So I think that the pollsters will take a look at it from a general election point of view, and then we have to break it down on the tabs of how it plays out in each of those battleground and soon to be battleground states.
So I've got the statement. It's pretty milquetoast. During former President Trump's campaign rally on the evening of July 13th, suspected shooter fired multiple shots from the stage at an elevated position outside the rally. Secret Service personnel neutralized the shooter, who is now deceased. One spectator was killed. One was critically injured, under investigation. So, and then Trump put out a statement thanking everybody and saying, we're going to get to the bottom of this. So with that, I think we've kind of gone over everything.
We may have one more piece of data coming in. Why don't you give us just another 30 seconds for it to arrive, and it may be the facility map that I was looking to grab.
John, a final statement. Well, go ahead, Christine.
Earlier today, it was reported that one of the reporters, I guess part of the pool traveling with President Biden, he had gone to, you know, 5 o'clock mass and he was coming out of it. And this happened on, you know, just after 6 o'clock in the East Coast time. But they asked him, you know, if he had been briefed at that point in time. He just said no. And then they put out a statement from the White House saying that he had been briefed by somebody connected to Secret Service, who I didn't recognize the name. It wasn't the head of Secret Service, but by Mayorkas as well. You know, but again, it goes down to how do, this is the question. If your source is telling you the truth, that the Trump campaign has asked for an increase of staff, now we have to take a look at, with this attempted assassination, is Biden going to do the right thing? Because he obviously didn't do the right thing for Bobby Kennedy.
Or you know, there's other stuff floating around that Biden, and I can't confirm this, that he said that, you know, it's time to put Trump in the crosshairs at some call last week or something.
Oh, that was, no. he said had to do with donors. And he said, now we have put the debate behind us and we have to put Trump in the bullseye.
Right. Right, I saw the text on that.
So this is the statement from Trump. I want to thank the United States Secret Service and all of law enforcement for their rapid response. I'm scrolling through it here. I want to extend my condolences to the family of the person who was killed and the other that was badly injured. So incredible that such an act can take place in our country. Nothing is known at this time. I felt the bullet pierce my upper part of my ear. I knew immediately something was wrong. I heard whizzing sounds, shots, and immediately felt the bullet ripping through the skin. Much bleeding took place, so I realized then what was happening. God bless America. So,
and God bless him and his family.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bill, did you get anything else here?
I have it coming in. It isn't prepared for the screen yet. So give me one more minute, and we may have it.
John, give us your last thoughts.
Well, I think that, and I was talking to this the same friend of mine I was talking about earlier out of D.C. this afternoon. I think this changes the dynamic for a lot of people. I think the people you were referring to that were leaving and saying what they said, it seems to be echoing. I'm seeing it a lot online as well, and that is that, you know, we've absorbed this and absorbed this and absorbed this. It's time for now. This to flip. And again, like you said, I'm not calling for violence here. I'm just simply saying that I think the mindset of people in the Trump campaign now is going to be much different now. I think it's going to be harder. I think it's going to be much more, a little more aggressive. I think the people out here are not going to be the same people that have sat around and said, let's go to the polls. I think they see this and they're seeing one side applying violence to the other, but them always being accused of it. And I think the nonsense is probably coming to a halt here.
Well, there's a difference between, you know, calling for violence and not accepting violence.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Two different things, right?
Absolutely.
So, absolutely. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, so we do have, now this is the alleged location and the alleged location of the shooter. Mm-hmm. So to the right of the screen, marked in red, would indicate where the platforms and seating and the stage was. And apparently the shooter is in this area, which is obviously quite some distance away. So to your point earlier, John, how would this happen? You know, this would have been a natural place for defense, right?
Absolutely. I can tell you right now, you had Secret Service. There's a bubble that they'll put in around there. And until you're out of range of a rifle, any kind of small arms, that's how big that bubble is. That bubble's big enough that it secures anything, any structures. The only way that structure wouldn't have been covered is if there was a big wall between that and where the president was standing. Like stadiums. Stadiums are a prime example. They go into stadiums, they can lock down that stadium because they got big walls around it. It's easy. They don't have to extend the zone out. But in a case like this where you have a field, I guarantee that zone would have been out a mile. They'd have this all would have been cleared out. They wouldn't have even let people in those buildings.
Yeah. So clearly some questions remain as to how this all came about, but as more data comes in, we will continue to consolidate it.
Last thoughts, Christine?
I think we all have to pray. I mean, if there isn't a moment now to pray, I don't know what it's going to take for this country to wake up. But I mean, I think this is serious and thank God that they got his ear, but they were going for his head. So this was not like going for a kneecap. No, this is serious.
Bill?
I think we need to watch ever more carefully. We've been, you know, eyes on. This now becomes a much, much more serious proposition, and we deserve to pay complete attention and be, as Christine and everybody has said, you know, pray and be ready to note and be aware of everything that's going on.
Agree.
So, Christine, who's on your show tomorrow?
You guys are coming on. You and Bill are coming back because we're going to be talking about the Republican National Committee. I'm also trying to get and I don't know if I'm going to succeed, but I'm trying to get a psychiatrist who actually counsels trans youth, who she herself is, in fact, a trans psychiatrist. And she is against pushing trans ideology, puberty blockers, and operations on children.
And then we'll have the Georgia show at 2, Bill. So preview that real quick.
So I'm sure this will be top of mind tomorrow. We'll probably have more data. By that time, we should have confirmed information on the alleged shooter. There are reports of at least one other person being injured, maybe fatally, and we'll probably have more on that. And we'll look forward to the Republican National Convention so that we can anticipate what should happen, and we'll be able to note the differences as things progress over the next 5 days.
Okay, so thank you for this. Thanks, guys, for jumping on last minute, and thank you, our audience, because we have a fairly robust audience tonight. Thank you for coming and listening to our insights. And I do think we have one of the best, or not the best, panel that's out there. I mean, you get a lot of talking heads, but nobody with the real experience. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.